So we want this to be very relaxed.
Ça soit super cool.
Very informal.
Et informel.
And just a sharing of some work.
Juste partager une partie de notre travail.
Everybody typically in this kind of thing, a playwright will read, you know, 3 or 4 minutes of a play.
Chacun va lire 3 ou 4 minutes d'une pièce qu'il ou elle a écrite.
And as you probably know, people will read in their first language.
Et comme vous le savez sans doute déjà, les gens vont lire dans leur langue maternelle.
Because I am one of those unfortunate Americans who only speaks English.
Parce que je suis un de ces pauvres Américains qui ne parlent qu'anglais.
But I love hearing plays in other languages.
Mais j'adore écouter des pièces dans d'autres langues.
Because you can tell so much, especially when the writer reads them.
Parce qu'on comprend tellement, spécialement quand l'auteur est en train de les parler.
All right, without wasting any time, I am Lene Konfono. I'm going to be reading. I don't know what it is, but it, writers will know it as a piece of writing. It might be a play, it might be a novel, it might be something. It's called Sunshine on Me. It looks like we are spending Christmas here in Steel Park this year. Normally on Christmas Eve, Mama would pack my clothes in a suitcase, cook an exquisite meal for supper, and later on go through family photo albums. Then on the morning of Christmas, Mama would wake me up early in the morning and we would travel to Bloemfontein where my entire family lives. If we were going, we would have been there already. I would have already been playing with my cousins, Tsepo, Buhlali, Bandile, Nemo, Thato, Karabo, Nompumelelo, and Katleo. My aunts, Rakhadi Lebu, Rakhadi Tumi, Rakhadi September, Rakhadi Rakhadi, and my mother would have already been cooking up a storm in the kitchen. My uncles, Malume Petros, Malume Devi, and Malume Piteng would be brining meat and playing music from their first cars. Every year I ask Mama for us to move to Bloemfontein. And every year she always says, next year. When the next year comes and I remind her of what she said, she always shouts, Sunshine, did I not say next year? I said we'll move next year again. Sunshine lit out. That's what my mother put on my birth certificate shortly after I was born in 1990 on the 22nd of October. Wena Sunshine, you owe your music to the you owe your name to the music of Bill Withers, my mom once told me. Mama says she played Bill Withers throughout her pregnancy with him. Soon after I was born, the time had come when she had to submit a name for me. She began to hum the melody of the song, Ain't No Sunshine, and the rest, as they say, is history. I was born a very sickly child. Respiratory problems kept me in and out of hospital. One day, I just stopped breathing. In a fit of panic, Mama laid her thatch mat, Mutsetse wa Basutu, on the grass, and lied with me under it, under the fervent African sun. I began to breathe again. Mama is a social worker. She works with delinquent children in a stowed school in Sharpeville, a neighboring township. One day she was followed by a boy who is now in jail, Munyaman, a very dark-skinned boy who was teased at school, and Mama began to help him. One day he decided he wanted Mama to be his mother. And when Mama said she couldn't, Munyamani followed her till they got home. He held Mama at knife point just outside the gate. When I saw this, I locked myself in my room, put a pillow on my face, and pressed hard. I pressed hard till I passed out. I woke up outside with my body neatly lying on Mama's Mutsetse wa Basutu that afternoon, beneath the scintillating sun rays. The street was full of onlookers. At the gate, Mama was with policemen in the van. I began to see those fingers, those dark fingers protruding from the windows. Munyamani, that boy who had followed her, had been arrested, and Mama was fine. I never asked her what happened, but I often think about it. There goes Mandla Dipuo and Michael. They've been playing all afternoon with a tennis ball. They don't seem too happy, because it seems as if the ball got lost because Tsekeleke, the biggest girl in the street, just hit it too hard. There she goes as well. I leave my room, go to Mama's room, and begin to knock. Mama, Mama, wake up, it's Christmas. Mama. Mama does not say anything, so I walk into her room. It is dark. Her curtains are closed. Her radio is playing the Filatsasioni on Lesedi FM. Then in the far corner, I begin to see her, a shadow floating in the air. I leave the lights off and run next door to Mandla's house. I barge in and I find Melebohan cooking. I try to tell her that there's trouble where I come from, but my voice does not want to come out. So I grab her by the tunic and we rush into the house as I lead her to my mother's room. Melebohan puts on the light, her eyes rapidly shifting from mama's bed to her wardrobe and then to the far corner of the room. She gives off the loudest scream I have ever heard in my life. She grabs me by the face, shoves me into her bosom, and we both begin to wail. I press my head hard into her bosom. I try to press it so hard and long enough till I stop breathing, but I can't. Melebohan leaves and she tells me she's getting help. She leaves me in the room alone. I look up, my eyes blinded by tears. Massive chills go pulsating down my spine. I want her alive. I need my mother alive. So I rush to the wooden chair beneath Mama. It is lying on its side. I try to lift it up, but it is covered in buckets of spit and trickles of blood. So I go for the bed and push it till it reaches the corner. I get on the bed and push it till I'm within touching distance of my mother. I cannot see her face. She's facing the corner of the wall. I want to loosen the rope, but it is too thick. It is hanging from the steel bolt where her cross used to hang. So I run to the kitchen and come back with a steak knife in hand. I hop onto the bed, reach for the rope, and saw into it. Nothing happens to the rope, so I grab the knot of the rope and pull my mother to me. Her body swings to me like a leaf in the autumn breeze. Her face mapped with extruding veins, bulging eyes. She is colorless, pale, and painful. And then at that point, it begins to hit me. My mother is gone. My stomach rumbles with agony. I begin to lose feeling in my legs. So I wrap my arms around her shoulders and hold on tightly. I let go and cling on to my mother. And at this point, we're both swinging from side to side. I wrap my arms around her shoulders and hold on tightly. I let go and cling fully now onto my mother. I try to wrap my feet around her, but they are numb now. So I hang on to her just like I used to when she used to swing me around outside the yard. This time I don't laugh, and this time she's not alive. So I say to her, I love you. There was no sunshine for you here, and maybe that's why you decided to be gone. Where you are going, I hope there will be plenty. I promise also to find my sunshine here. On the other side of the room, I hear angered adult voices near the bedroom. So I squeeze my mother like it is the last time I ever will. And then, for the last time, I let go.
Hello, my name is Jenny Ann Copera, and I'm from the United States. 6 years ago, I was an intern at the Copenhagen Malmo Congress, and there were three interns on the Copenhagen side and three interns on the Malmo side. And I was put on the Copenhagen side with a woman from Buenos Aires and a young man from South Africa. And we became quick friends. There was a moment in my mind where I remember I stood up and I was telling a story, and I am a mover, and I stood up and I moved, and I was telling my story to these friends of mine. And I turned around, and they were both standing on their legs in the same position I was. And I realized that it didn't matter where I was from in the globe, that I had friends, and one was from South Africa. I would like to just read a memorial. I've been trying to find a way to say goodbye. So let us take a moment together, my brothers and sisters. Those of you who have been down that road, as it were, those of you who really feel me. It may be just one or two or all of you, whatever. Let us take a moment together to mourn the death of dignity at the hands of stupidity, hands acting on the wishes of the darkest part of night, whiskey velvet whisperings of adoration. And I will say, let us not abandon adoration, for without it, our lives will become an empty can kicked by a broken youth on the hottest part of a sweaty day. So don't you dare abandon adoration. But beware, my brothers and sisters, beware.
This is my second time in Cape Town. I happen to be a traveler. So I find some quotation in, sometimes when I read, it states, those who do not travel read only a page. So me being a traveler, I read a lot. And now I'm grateful to have this opportunity just to share few of my writings, some pieces of my writing. A piece of poetry entitled Shosholoza, Mail on a Rail. If you don't know, if you still remember the train, Shosholoza. One chilly morning, I left people snoring, facing the blowing breeze. I could hear sneezes, some young, some old, some hopeful, some hopeless. You had to wrap your hands for a heat while stamping your feet with a beat. I could feel my feet recalling mother say, be bold. And that day I was cold. Wondering about my journey, worrying about my destiny, for an hour or two I was learning, chatting to see one who was charming. Soon, she will reach her destination and I will sit in desperation. Still on the mail, on the rail, and my mail will not take. The onlookers were so interested. They will experience my indigestion. That I could change. Shosholoza made on a ring.
Jubeta enters the scene holding an old radio. She tries to tune it, but she doesn't succeed. She removes the batteries and hits them against each other, and she replaces them in the radio. Then she switches on the radio, but it doesn't play. This never works when I need it. I should have put the batteries on the fire instead of in the sun. You stupid ride radio. Only play for your master, is it? When last time you played for me? Oh my God. How long I don't hear a song. A song being sung. She tries to sing. She can't. Oh no, no! She turns aside suddenly and she hangs her eyes at horizon for a while. Then she says, Magoda might be in his way. She retired. I can't miss supper. Not anymore. Just imagine, that Mashake never wins. Damn who invented football. She goes to the right upper and yells, Said! Said! Pause. Said! He thinks I want to borrow money. Something. She returns where she was before and stands still. She hears a noise. And she screams again, Said! Said! Shah! Magoda is in his way back now. She goes to the stove and removes the pot. While she eats hurriedly from the pot and washes it, she says, the day Mashaken will win, our children will return home. I wish I could go through that door to go out looking for them. But whenever I cross that door, I start to miss my body. Why? What's happening with me, for God's sake? But still, I'm beautiful. My God comes in, creeping. He has one of those looks. Jubeta goes immediately to the mat and sits down. My God, Jubeta, why are you waiting to give me food? Jubeta. Mashaken lost. Magoda, give me supper. I want to eat and sleep. Jubeta, Mashaken won today? Magoda, I don't want to know about soccer. Give me supper. Jubeta does not move. Damn it. Damn it. Jubeta, Magoda, are you swearing at me? Magoda, after silence, today it was my last game. You know that? Jubeta, Magoda, you haven't been at the stadium. God, I just went to the village to listen to the radio and look, 2-0. Damn it. How long has this been going on? What? The village still there? You forbid me to eat when your Mashaken loses. I know you always eat before I arrive. What do I have to do with your soccer? Pause. I even dressed properly for my last game. 5 magicaish for this shoe, for nothing. You dare to use the last coins we had? My last game. For how many years I haven't been at the village? I took the opportunity to the last visit. The road is full of barn vans and buses. Not a single soul moves. The Oliveira's bus is also burned, and we never heard about it. When was it? I don't know. I just saw it today. That war. But the war is off, is it? No, I can still hear it. It roars here and there. All in a sudden, I heard guns so close that burst my eardrums and charmed my guts. Then silence. A bleeding silence. My God, our children never returned home. They used to come home for Christmas. You don't think they were born inside that bus, do you? My goodness, no. Faustino went to John. Pedro is in Maputo. Victoria, Alberto, Alice, Munaz, Violeta. Tomorrow you better go to the bus to see if none of my children wasn't killed there. Pedro will never come back. Since I asked him a pair of shoes, he never visited us. You better give back Juca's shoe. He will ask you another 5 meticas each extra day. Don't worry, it's all sorted. What do you mean it's all sorted? You wasted 5 meticas already. On your way, why didn't you pass his house? Who is going to do that? You know I can't cross that door. My shoes. If I die wearing his shoes, we never claim them. You have to bury me with shoes.
My name is Giaurata Haungwati. A short story, Khotahamoloi, The Coming of a Witch. Inile malatsi ale marataro katatelano. Toro e le muwane go kgosi ya motse. E re le fantse a o tlola dinao masimong a makatane, a utlwa pina e rokotsega ditsebeng go tswa bogakaleng. Mafoko a pina go bolelwa a ne a re, basadi bo mme re lo boleletse ra goroga, re le tliseditse pula. Basadi bo mme re lo boleletse ra goroga, re lo boleletse. Mafoko a ile a gapa kgosi maikutlo a hemela kwa tlase. Marang a letsatsi a setse a tsidifetse, bophirima. O hibitse e kete madi a namane nomelo. Fa ntse a apetsa-petsa menwana a seledung, tlhaloganyo yone e ile bophiring. Kgatlhatho gapetsega pitse ka lobelo lo le makatsang go tswa borwa go ya botlhano, gwa sala go le lerolo le lesoe kete tsela ya tlapeng. Kgosi a sala a ipotsa gore a na re se a ke pono kgotsa ke ikgase moruti o tsididi. Mme fela a fetsa mogopolo ka gore botlhale jwa phala bo tswa diphalaneng. Go nne fa itse gore kgosi ke kgosi ka go batla dikgakololo. Mme a tsaya tshwetso ya gore a e tšhotlhe le rragwe. Tsotlhe tse e ne le ka maitiso. Ka tsatsi la go latela, pele ga a phokotsa a kgotlhelela metsi, kgosi a bitsa rragwe go mo begela toro ya gagwe le se a se boneng mo torong. Go ne go nkga mosi wa paipi, mosi wa teng e le ka re leo. Ga bua rra ga re, rra, ke malatsi a le marataro ntse ke bona toro kgotsa yone pitse mo torong ya maloba fa a fane ke reke tshidimala ngwanake. Rragwe a mo tsena ganong, a goga paipi a sedila marapo a tlhogo, mosi o tswela boatleng ka dinko, a moraa a ngwanake. Badimo ba leka go tlhaba matlhale ebile ba leka go lemosa ka seemo sa gago mo ntlong ya segosi. Pitse e batla manno mo ntlong ya bogosi e re fa e goroga ngwana o e amogele. Mme dula o le malalaotshe ka nako tsotlhe, ke sa e merakeng mme tse dingwe tle itshenolwa fela jaaka se.
Voilà, c'est fait, petit frère. Je ne te dirai pas comment, mais j'ai pu manger. C'est l'essentiel. Avec le garçon du kiosque, ça marche. Il hésite quelquefois, c'est vrai. Mais il finit toujours par me faire crédit. Il est sympa. J'étais sorti à 6 heures ce matin. Ne pense pas à un truc précis, à quelque chose de bon. Non. La plupart du temps, je sors pour ne rien faire. Même pas pour me distraire. Je ne sors que pour tuer. Rien d'autre à faire que tuer. Oui. Je tue le temps. Il faut bien vivre. C'est la vérité que je te dis et cela me tourmente comme le vent. Si je te raconte tout ça aujourd'hui, c'est parce que je sais très bien ce que tu penses, toutes les questions que tu te poses. Pourquoi je passe d'un pays à un autre? Pourquoi je ne vous aide pas? Pourquoi je ne vous donne pas de nouvelles? Pourquoi? C'est dur, crois-moi. Avant de quitter, il y a 4 ans, je condamnais tous ceux qui étaient partis pour partir. Ceux-là qui n'envoyaient rien à leur famille. Rien. Même pas le petit. Allô, bonjour, c'est moi. Comment allez-vous là-bas? Je tenais à partir. Je suis parti. Mais après tant d'années, me voici encore sur la route. Partir et repartir sans fin.
J'ai fui. C'est dur, tu sais. Ce n'est pas une partie de plaisir. J'aime pas ce métier. Ce n'est pas fait pour moi, ça. Et pourquoi? Je ne peux pas avoir les mêmes droits que les enfants de mon maître. J'ai ce droit, tu sais. J'ai droit à ce droit. Droit? Ce mot est fait pour les enfants les riches. T'as pas compris. Ils sont contents quand ils te donnent des miettes. Ils s'applaudissent d'avoir accompli une grande œuvre. T'es né pauvre. Et pour les riches, les pauvres n'ont aucun droit. En tout cas, t'as gaspillé ta chance de devenir quelqu'un dans la vie. Silence. Moi, je suis un enfant placé, tu sais. Placé? Bon, je dirais plutôt placé vendu. C'est quoi ça? Tes parents ne sont quand même pas des monstres? Cette humaine se referme sur elle-même. Elle sait très fort sa boîte de biscuits. Mais qu'est-ce que tu as? J'ai dit quelque chose de vilain? Je t'en prie, je n'ai pas voulu insulter tes parents. Arrête de dandiner comme ça. Écoute, à chaque fois que tu sais cette boîte, tu deviens bizarre. Je demande où sont tes parents et tu me montres une boîte. Cécile ouvre la boîte, sans mots, et sort des photos qu'elle montre à Rachad. Ce n'est que des photos et tu en fais un temps de mystère. La réponse à ta question, mes parents. Écoute-la, tu t'es planté. Ce ne sont que des photos. Non, mes parents. Mais j'ai demandé où sont tes parents. Mais les voilà dans ma main. Là, c'est papa, là, c'est maman, et là, une photo de famille. Je peux les prendre? Non, tu regardes de loin. Des fois, je te demande si tout va bien chez toi. Des photos dans une boîte de biscuits que tu désignes comme ton trésor. Oui. Depuis 7 ans, ils sont toujours restés dans cette boîte. Tu sais, ils sont très dociles. Chaque fois que je me sens seule, je les prends. Et ainsi, ils sont proches de moi. Depuis 7 ans, tu vois, ils portent les mêmes tenues. Ils sont même pas grandis. Je suis la seule à grandir. Tu crois qu'ils savent que j'ai grandi? Que je suis devenue une adolescente gentille? J'ai les meilleurs parents du monde. Tu sais, depuis 7 ans, ils ont accepté de rester dans cette boîte. C'est merveilleux. Tu trouves pas? Depuis 7 ans, ils n'ont plus jamais parlé. Quand je parle, ils m'écoutent gentiment. Ne dis à personne que cette boîte est la maison de mes parents. Sinon, ils vont croire que je délire. C'est notre secret, n'est-ce pas? Arrête là, tu dis n'importe quoi. Ah bon? Tu veux que je me teste comme eux? Ils n'ont jamais voulu que je m'exprime. Je te dis que cette boîte est la maison de mes parents depuis 7 ans. Pour l'amour du ciel, celle-ci, mais j'ai compris. C'est la maison de tes parents. C'est ça même. Ce n'est pas méchant de les enfermer dans une boîte de biscuits. Ah non, c'est très rigoureux. Je suis la gentille. C'est bon, tu peux les ranger maintenant, tes parents. Tu prends déjà congé d'eux. À force de rester longtemps dehors, ils vont prendre froid. T'as raison. Ils sont pas habitués. L'autre jour, j'ai vu un prêtre. Et alors? Il est venu acheter à la boutique. J'étais contente. Tu sais, il m'a même donné de l'argent. Et pourtant, il m'a dit, salut-moi tes parents. Je l'ai montré la boîte, j'ai dit. Ils vous entendent, mon père. Ils sont là. C'est leur maison. Oh, le pauvre. Il a fait un signe de croix en courant. S'il pouvait savoir. Non. À ton âge, tu vends. La boutique, c'est à la maison. C'est bon. Qu'est-ce que tu as avec le chiffre 7? C'est mon porte-bonheur simplement, tout comme ton étoile. Tu l'as fait faire et elle est partie. Toi aussi. Une étoile est loin dans le ciel. Regarde. Regarde, elle est juste passée de droite à gauche. Je ne vois rien. Mais là, elle exprime son mécontentement. C'est pour ça qu'elle a changé de côté. Une étoile, c'est toujours la joie, le bonheur de briller toujours plus haut. C'est comme ça que doit être la vie, le bonheur de toujours vivre à chaque instant. Oui, je crois, puisqu'elle est belle, la vie. Mais malheureusement, le bonheur est pour une place donnée. Avant ton arrivée, mon étoile me tient compagnie.